Hi and welcome. You're listening to Nourish with Intention, and I'm your host, Nikita Mehta. In each episode, we explore inspiring conversations with wellness experts, innovators, and souls driven by a deep sense of purpose. I am so excited for you to tune into these conversations and find the tools to nourish your mind and body, both on and off your plates. My guest for this episode is Padmaja Iyer, a powerful woman who defines resilience and inspires us to live through that lens too. She's a therapist, corporate wellness coach, facilitator for rebirthing breathwork, which we will talk about more later in this episode. Her life experiences put her in a zone she couldn't have ever imagined, but those same experiences created a strong sense of purpose for Padmaja. She brings all that to the table today, empowering us to change our narrative and push through even when we think we can't. So let's dive in. Just sitting across, even virtually, I can feel this powerful energy that you have. You're an inspiring woman, helping a lot of us around feel more empowered. And I'm grateful to have you here. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Nikita, and very kind of you to reach out to me and to invite me on your platform. My intention, you know, of late has been just to reach out to more and more people, to get in touch with more and more people through people like you who are doing such amazing work, trying to bring out messages to the masses, trying to impact the society in positive ways, in proactive ways. And, you know, to take this cause up at this early stage in your life, I think is really commendable, because when I was your age, I don't ever think it occurred to me to make a difference or anything. You know, I was so engrossed in my own life that I really am inspired by you and other people like you who are doing such amazing work. So thank you for inviting me.
I usually start by asking what nourishing with intention means to someone, but I have a different question coming to me right now because I feel the sense of depth to you. So I want to ask you, what is your mission here on earth? Have you figured your purpose here?
I think I have an idea of what it is, though our mission is not something that is set in stone. It is something that keeps shifting, evolving, you know, shape-shifting. It takes on so many different avatars through different stages of your lives. And your mission is also made more and more clear and profound to you as you go through the life situation that life presents to you, like through your relationships, through the work that you do, through the people that you meet, you know, through the books that you read, through the lives that you touch. You know, most of the times I've seen that people who come into my lives, in fact, come as teachers to me more than I am there to help them or guide them. So I would say that so far over my lifespan, I think I have been knocked and nudged and pushed and prodded to finally come to this point where I have a little amount of clarity of my mission, which I think is to create clusters of conscious creators. Basically, with the understanding that we are the creators of our own lives. Each one of us is the creator of our own lives. And what we create has to be created consciously, because what we create is not just for ourselves. We are creating and we are impacting our environment with our creations. And how we create it, what is the impact that we are having because of this creation? How is it touching other people's lives or affecting other people's lives? It is very important for us to be aware of this. So creating simple things, like even if I'm starting a business for myself, let us say I want to build a business. I want to earn a lot of money. I want to live a certain life. But the business that I build is going to impact the world around me. How am I impacting this world? Am I contributing to this world? Am I contributing to the well-being of the people? Or I am just being blind about, I just have to look at my own profitability and my own name and fame, and I don't really care what my product or my offering is impacting, how it is impacting the world. That consciousness is something that I am very, very, I feel very deeply about. And so I want to help people. So through the work that I do, I want to teach people how to think, how to make decisions, how to align themselves with the laws of this universe, and how to become conscious creators. And this is in a nutshell of what I mean by my mission.
That's such a beautiful mission. How did you come to this transformation? What led you to your path in wellness?
Right. Now, that is a long story, but a very, very interesting story, which I think, and I'm very grateful for that. It will sound like a, you know, like many people who know about the my life story or the experiences of my life, they say that you should write a book, you should make a movie, and is what they say. But at that point of time, when all those experiences were happening, it felt very dark and it felt like a never-ending gloomy tunnel. But now when I look back, you know, I'm quite inspired by Vishen Lakhiani, who speaks about in his, you know, The Code of the Extraordinary Mind, the book that he wrote.
Yeah.
He speaks about the reverse gap, whether it was him or another person. They speak about the reverse gap is always we are looking at where we want to be and whether we feel capable or not, but we fail to look at the reverse gap. So when I look at where I was and where I am today, and I feel so grateful, I feel so good that those experiences were part of my life, because of which I am where I am today. And I got all the ideas to do all the things that I did, which makes me feel very fulfilled. So my life story starts very early in my life, in my teenage, when I went through a situation where I was abused and molested by three adult males. And that led to me. Yeah. No, I think we should start looking at situations very objectively. Yes, these things shouldn't happen to anybody. But since it has happened, it would be important for us to dissect these events and to get down to why these things happen in the first place, and not to take it as, oh, this is bad. Because in the grand scheme of the universe, there is no bad and there is no good. I cannot tell this to another person who has gone through abuse, but I can tell this to myself, because I can see by speaking to myself in this manner how my life has changed. So I feel that, yes, at that point of time, because I did not have the awareness that I have today, I felt like it was something terrible. And the worst part of this incident was that I took the blame upon myself, because we all have grown up in a society. And at that point, I'm talking about the 70s and the 80s. Where if any such thing happened to a girl, it was always the girl's mistake. Yeah. In fact, my molesters, they told me that they were punishing me because I was very arrogant and they needed to put me in place. At that point of time, I was a very confident young girl in college, you know, captain of the badminton team and captain of this and that. And I used to hang out with boys and have fun, very outspoken and outgoing and extroverted. And it just didn't go well with some of the boys. And then this is what I was told, that we have to put you in place. And then that took a turn, you know, that situation in my life. From that point onwards, I started running away from everything. I stopped going to college. I flunked my 12th standard. Then, you know, I used to tell my parents that I'm going to going to college, and I used to go and sit in the library, city central library. In those days, we didn't have any other way of studying other than in the library. And the city central library was where, you know, that was my safe space. I used to sit there from morning to evening and then go back home in the evening, like as if I've gone to college and come back. You know, this I'm just telling you because I had no clue that why is it my mistake? Why should it be my mistake? But I didn't have the clarity or the maturity or the awareness at that point of time to even question myself these simple questions. See, this is the reason why I do what I do. And why am I sharing this incident with you today? Is because conscious living, becoming conscious, has also helped me to ask relevant questions to myself. And now I'm able to help youngsters who go through similar situations ask themselves these questions. Why do I believe this thing about myself or about what happened? Can I get, you know, delve into it, go deeper and get the right answers? Okay, so that was one incident where I kept running away and running away from everything, all of life. In fact, I eloped from my parental home with the first person who proposed to me at a very early age, because for me, it just like a ticket to freedom from the place where everybody knew me and my parents and my family, you know, my parents.
Yeah. Parents were, I guess at that point, you just want to escape and process it in whatever way you can.
Exactly. And my parents were very respectable people of that place. They had migrated from Kerala and come to that place. They had settled there for a long time. And I was the youngest of six sisters. We are six sisters. I have five older siblings and all of that. It was just that, you know, all my sisters had done well and they were following all the rules and regulations of the family system and of society. And I seem to be this black sheep who seems to have broken the norm, and something like this happens. Oh my God, will I be the cause for bad name for my family? And I don't want to be, nobody should know me and recognize me. It was like, I used to just wish that the earth would just suck me in and I would disappear from the face of the earth. That was how I was living the latter part of my teenage.
Yeah, that's tough. Yeah.
Yes. And now when I look back, I just, you know, I can still recollect the feeling, the queasy feeling in the tummy that you have when you are just, you know, you just don't want to exist. So that is what that happened. And so the first person who showed, who came across and proposed to me, I said, yes. And then I eloped. I knew that my parents are never going to accept. I broke all cultures. I've been the first person in my family for a lot of firsts. But yeah, I eloped. And I knew from day one, because see, nobody is a bad person or a good person. Now, if you look back at that incident in my teenage, you'll ask, you know, many people ask me, have you been able to forgive them? Or, you know, it was such a bad thing that happened to you. I said, see, if a human being is aware that he's doing something wrong, will he do it? You see, you will say that, yeah, many people do it knowing, but no, they are not conscious. They are not aware and conscious. They are just doing it blindly because they think that is the right thing to do, because maybe those men grew up believing that women have to behave in a particular way in society and men have to be in a particular way, right? That is why they did that. If they knew reality, or if they were raised by the mothers in a proper way, the way the mother is raising a son and a daughter is what is going to make the difference. That how are you raising? Are you raising your daughter saying that you have to be safe, you can't go out in the dark, you can't do this because it's a world bad out there? And you're raising a son saying, you know what, you can do what you want, you're free and no problem, and you do, you know, she's not giving the proper upbringing or the nurturing or the messaging to those children. And that is why these things happen, right? So if those men were raised consciously by a conscious parent, these things wouldn't have happened. Right. Yeah. So what is the point?
And unfortunately, that has been the reality for so long, I think, across a lot of different cultures, not just over here.
Exactly. And, you know, what is the whole point in me just holding resentment? Oh, those men did it to me. Is there any point to that? You tell me. I don't even recognize those people. I don't know who they were. Right. Do I need to hold them onto my memory and my baggage for the rest of my life and burden myself even further? No point. Right. So there is no question of forgiving here. Here it is all about consciousness. It is about becoming conscious. Why did it happen? Why did I take all those messagings from that situation that I am wrong and I shouldn't have done this and it's all my mistake. I should be more humble and I should not be outspoken, right? Because of which I felt like I should hide myself. I shouldn't be seen. I didn't know the truth. Because these things are not taught to us in school. These things, you know, when we come from small cities and towns, you are just raised to be an honest and a straightforward person. And then, you know, be a good person. Don't bring bad name to the family. Study well. Come back home on time. And you just study this much and you'll get married. And that's all your life is all about. That's what you're told. You're never given information about what are boundaries, what boundaries to set, you know, how to manage these situations. You are not taught about self-love and self-esteem and self-worthiness. You're not taught about standing up for yourself, taking on, you know, no one asks you, what do you want? You are told what you need to do.
It's just taking that one step behind and kind of questioning, not even questioning, just realizing what you're doing, what your choices are. And I think that applies in the entire spectrum, right, of life, whether it's food, your decisions, how you see yourself, how you see actions of others. And It would be an amazing day when people actually recognize that this is something that needs to be taught in schools. It is something that needs to be a part of our upbringing.
And so going to the next important event is that as a result of that, then I got married and then I had children. And then when I had my daughter, she was just 3 days old. And through my pregnancy, I was not able to walk properly. I was not able to function normally. I mean, though I was, you know, doing everything on my own, my son was 4 years when my daughter was born, 4 years old. And after she was born, on the third day, I went for a checkup. I went to the doctor and told him, I'm not able to walk. I'm having this terrible pain in my lower back and all. And then I was diagnosed with bone TB. And then I went for a second opinion and showed a couple of other doctors. And they said, so this is sclerosis of the joints. And so sclerosis of the joints is a condition where the joints, they keep the tissue loses its ability to come back to place, you know, your joints, the tissues that connects the joints, and it just becomes loose. And so you and it aches, you cannot walk. It's very painful. The condition is extremely painful. And I couldn't walk properly. I couldn't even lie down, you know. Lying down also on my back used to be so painful because that was how it was. And the only cure for that was to have medicines. And the doctors told me that, see, it's going to be a matter of another 8 to 10 years and you will be in a wheelchair and there is nothing that can be done about it. It was a degeneration. Yes. And you can imagine I had a 3-day-old daughter in my arms and then I had a 4-year-old son. Right.
That is, and by the, I can't even imagine how heartbreaking that must have been. It really needs some resilience and power.
So right now, if you ask me, I don't think it was resilience and inner power and knowing my inner power. None of that. It was just the practicality of things that you were raised in with such messaging that you have children, now you have to take care of them. And the doctor is telling me that I can't live. Like, imagine coming to a wheelchair is like death. And they said, yeah, eventually, mental health will get affected. So many things will happen. It was like death for me. What will I do with 2 little children? And by then, I already headed to a space where I felt like the marriage was crumbling and it was not working and all of that.
Yeah.
And there was a voice in my head which told me at that point, the doctor was there telling me all these things. And the first thought that came to my mind was, I have no time to die. I can't die. And believe me, Nikita, till then, I had tried several times to take my life. You know, before that, I had tried that. But at that point of time, there was a switch which flipped and said, no, you don't have time to die. You have to take care of, you know, you can't leave these two to this open world. What are you going to do? And I think it was just that resolve. And I think that was divine intervention in my life. I don't know where that thought came from. Some things are just not meant to be deduced or logically understood.
Question.
We have to submit. Yeah. We have to submit to the power of this infinite universe, which comes with amazing messages and directions right when you need it. For us to be open to it is a blessing. For us to be able to receive these messages when they are arriving is a big blessing, if you ask me.
Sure.
You know, at that point of time, I don't think I was a very spiritual or a religious or anything. I was just getting through each day of my life. Okay. So I think that was the shift. And that is when I decided, no, I have to live. I cannot allow this to happen to me because I have to be there for my kids or I have to raise them. And as a result of that thought, Nikita, I saw suddenly so many different people started coming into my life who took me step by step, step by step. And finally, I came to this place where I am now. And they came in the form of teachers who just came simply and taught me meditation. Someone taught me about journaling. Someone came and told me, you know, chant this thing. I got intensely into chanting. I feel that chanting has been something which has really given me a lot of power. And I still now, whenever I get the time, I like to take my beads and then just chant any one mantra or one bija mantra or some prayer that I enjoy. See, one blessing is I was born in a family where my mother, she was my first guru, I should say. And she taught all of us so many Sanskrit shlokas and mantras and prayers at that tender age. You know, it was a discipline. It was a rule in our home that we have to be home by 6 and we light the lamp and we all have to sit and recite these shlokas and prayers. And at that time, I realized that that was the purpose, that my mother was somewhere preparing me to go through life and use the power of those mantras or those chantings, sound vibration. It started off with that. I'm just saying it was not just that. So many things. Someone is teaching me meditation. Someone is teaching me this. Someone is teaching me to write down my thoughts and put my things down. Someone came and taught me Kriya Yoga. Someone came and taught me Kriya Shakti. You know, it started in all these random ways. Someone, you know, I met a tarot reader. And then during the course of this journey, I met Dr. Newton and Dr. Lakshmi. And I trained. I went for past life regression therapy to heal my own issues. And then I saw that it came to me as a past life skill. So the very first life I saw in past life regression, when I went just very curious, was I saw myself as a healer in the 14th century who had the ability to heal people with energy, electricity flowing through her hands. That's how I saw. And she had the ability to talk to birds and also to understand how to heal people using plants and herbs and all of that. And that was a very powerful and
that is a very super interesting past life.
That was the very first past life that I received, you know, the impressions. And I kept thinking when the facilitator was taking me through it, the therapist, he was telling me, okay, what is coming? Nothing was coming to my mind, you know, initially. And then he said, okay, but what if you were allowing, if you would allow yourself to see something, what would it be? And this random story started unfolding on my mental screen. And I promise you, Nikita, I had never ever imagined that scenario before in my life. Okay. And I saw the entire lifespan of that woman, that she was all by herself and totally in bliss in nature, and she's to live out in the open, and she's to communicate with these animals and birds. She used to visit the nearby village now and then and heal people. People used to come. She used to go and sit under a tree, and people used to come, and then she used to just place her hand on whichever part had to be healed, and they used to go. And that is how I saw my first life. So my first experience of past life was me recollecting my past life skills. And I believe that if I hadn't gone through all of these situations, I would not have come to this point in life where I would be shown this. And then from there began the journey of me taking this up as a cause, you know, as a purpose in my life, and to be able to create a difference in people's lives. So that is how it started. Yeah.
I think there are so many different parts and emotions in this journey of yours. Of course, the first part angers me, but I feel that change of narrative that you had, even with the incidents that came up later with your health, it just shows how our narrative affects so much in our life. And there are a lot of things around us that we can't control. I think for any person who is healing from any trauma, any experience, whether it's health, mental health, any, you know, loss of someone, it's always a tough journey to go through and to do that inner work. So true. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing your story with me.
Yeah, just one more thing to this is that if you rightly said that each one of us goes through our own set of experiences, all are not so pleasant, most of them are unpleasant ones, challenges, but what if we were to shift our perspective and our perception towards life as I'm on a mission? You know, one of the most beautiful things that I learned through my training in past life regression therapy was, of course, I did a lot of other modalities, but I think that was the most life-changing training that I took. And you know what? In that, you learn that this life that you are living, you suppose, you know, for a person who doesn't believe in past lives, okay? I'm speaking from that perspective.
Yeah.
Let us assume that you're building a house, and before you build a house, you sit and plan, right? You make a plan, you create a blueprint of what kind of a house you want to create, how that structure is going to be, where you're going to put all the entrances and the exits and everything. You have a blueprint, right? So what if you were to assume that I have put in the blueprint for this life, I have a plan to have a certain number of experiences in this life for my own evolution. And for that, I chose certain positive as well as negative catalysts to come at certain points of time in my life and to trigger those experiences in my life for me to grow, for me to evolve. So if we were able to look at our life and our life situations as our mission, that it is a mission that we have to crack. So am I going to sit and you know, suppose I'm in a dark room and I have to go from one room to the other, you know, you have these mystery rooms, right? If I'm just going to get scared with one thing and sit there and cry for the rest of my life and then expect good things to happen to me, they're not going to happen, right? I'm going to have to look at it and, okay, now that this is here, what can I do about it? Rather than, you know, look at life is happening to me, life is happening for me, to life is happening through me, to life is just happening and I am beingness. You know, that is the whole journey. And if you are able to do that, life, everything will look different. You will not look at it like a victim. You will look at it as, okay, here is my situation for growth. And here is my situation. Here is my, you know, an opportunity for me to make a difference. It could also be that you are a witness to someone else going through something and you feel the need to stand up and do something about it. You can keep fighting and complaining and call this a bad world, or you could say, what can I do? I normally take the examples of situations that are happening far away from you. Like now the thing happening in, you know, the Hamas story there in Gaza, or the war in Ukraine. We can sit and give our judgments about those things left, right, and center. We can spend hours talking about how things are unfair. But what is the use of these conversations if you're not able to do something proactive? And you cannot go there. Let us say you can't go there. You cannot physically be there and take care or offer your help. Then the best thing you can do is first rid yourself of negative thoughts and say, what can I proactively do in my environment? Is my environment at least safe? Are there people who are struggling in my environment? Can I serve them and keep myself in a state of positive vibration so that I'm impacting my world in a positive way? You know?
So I think it's very interesting that you mentioned we are kind of channels to achieve a mission, and there are going to be different things thrown at us. And, you know, we need to probably overcome, evolve, go through those experiences to kind of reach that mission. So you're a multifaceted healer. Like you just mentioned, you've done mindfulness, breath work, so many things on conscious living, inner child work. What is the foundation?
So the basic foundation of everything I do is to first create awareness about the importance of being aware. Awareness is the key, Nikita. Awareness is the key for anything and everything in the world. It is like, you know, there is a dark room and you're lighting a lamp and you're placing the lamp in the center of the room and the entire room is lit, and then you can see what is there around you. So ignorance has to be banished only through building awareness. Okay. Awareness happens in different ways. Awareness happens through having a guru or a teacher, someone who's guiding you. Awareness happens through reading. Awareness happens through being, you know, being a conscious participant in your environment, in your society, in your home. But the best way to build awareness is to go within. The practice of meditation and the practice of mindfulness in everything that you do. Everything, every activity that you do, you can be mindful. And that quality of mindfulness will help you to get so much information about who you are, about what thoughts are going on in your mind, what are the emotions that are being generated in your being as you're experiencing these emotions. Are these pleasant? Are these unpleasant? If they are unpleasant, why are they unpleasant? What belief from my past is making me feel in this way? And what are my values that are impacting this belief? And how can I get clarity on what is it that I want, and how can I shift my actions, thoughts, and behaviors to get to where I want to be? This is what awareness helps you with. So awareness can be built using meditation. You can build awareness by practice of meditation, mindfulness, journaling. Journaling, enough can never be said about the power of journaling. I tell you, Nikita, I'm working with people in the corporates. If you ask me why I chose to step into the corporate world, is I think that, you know, the corporate world to me symbolizes, you know, robots, people who get in, they get into the company and they're working from morning to night. They are so, they create beautiful things. Let me say, they are such amazing creators that makes life more easy and convenient or whatever it is for us, but they lose themselves on the journey, you know. And for me to be able to present the concept of conscious living to the left-brained, logical-minded people to help them infuse conscious living along with logical thinking is mind-blowing. The possibilities become endless. And when people start becoming creators, like brilliant people, most of the corporates I work, they're all engineers, they're all people in the events industry, creative people, and you're interacting with people. So when you're able to give them these things, they are able to bend time, they are able to get more work out of a little amount of time, they are able to get more and more ideas, inspiring ideas, they are able to tap into so many different dimensions and give the best possible work out, you know. Biggest duty of every human being is to discover your potential to the fullest and to offer it to the world. That is why we are all here. And on the way, we have a good life. We have experiences. We have family. We have love. We have travel. We have food. We have everything. But all these are the arrangements for us to arrive upon that point that you discover your gift and you bring it out in full fragrance to the world. That is what we are here for.
A lot of your work, because you're working with corporates, it also revolves around stress management, navigating these times. Have you seen any instances where stress has manifested in any physical, mental symptoms, you know, which people can also get aware of?
Absolutely. You see, every single physical manifestation of an illness is a result of stress. If you go to any doctor today, they will first ask you what is going on in your life. What is the stress that you're going through? Why? Because the simple, you know, let us talk about simple science or the biology behind what happens in your body when you go through stress, is that your brain starts pumping cortisol or the stress hormone into your blood. And in a matter of 20 minutes, your entire body is, that stress hormone is circulated throughout your body within 20 minutes. And until you become aware that you are stressed and start taking, you know, steps to overcome stress, like a simple thing that you could do when you realize you're feeling stressed is to take deep breaths. Simple thing. The simplest tool, a free tool that, you know, each one of us is having, but we don't remember to do that. You know, if you notice that you're having very fast breathing, it shows that there is stress in the body, right? So the moment, until you recognize that you're stressed and you become aware that I'm stressed, and first let me stop this pumping of cortisol through my body. Because as long as cortisol is being pumped through your body, what happens is this area of your brain, which is called the neocortex or the prefrontal cortex, is important for problem solving. It is important for thinking. It is also important for sending the messages to the body. Your fear center stops circulation to your stomach and to your immune system when you're stressed. Why? Because it is correlating the situation to a time of fight, flight, and freeze. Where the body does not have to spend energy in digesting food, nor does it have to spend energy to keep your immune system up to protect you against disease. Right now, it has to keep you alive, right? You will see that when you're stressed, you will have a lot of circulation in your arms and in your legs because your body is getting ready, preparing you to flee or fight, to hit back or to flee, you know? So when you're doing this, and if you're constantly in a state of stress, imagine your ability to solve problems, to think straight, will reduce drastically. And a lot of energy is spent in keeping your body on alert. Your immune system goes down, because of which your body will stop fighting diseases effectively. Your digestion process goes down because your body is not giving enough circulation for digestion. And that is why we have either a loose tummy, or we have constipation, or we have acidity, or we have acid reflux. All these are, you know, the result of being stressed. And the manifestation, and you see Louise Hay's book, You Can Heal Your Life. It is a research that has gone into understanding that thoughts create things, that your thoughts and feelings precipitate into your physical body, your annamaya sharira. This body that is fed by food is the, you know, the interface which is giving you information about what is happening inside. Every disease can be reversed by replacing your thoughts and, you know, becoming aware first, working on it, working on your childhood beliefs or the beliefs that you've developed, and replacing it with more powerful thoughts, proactive thoughts, positive thoughts that will help you become who you are meant to be. So, you know, realizing that the body is constantly giving us and ignoring the signs and also going overboard. See, in today's times, we are hearing so much information about people who are dying when they are on the treadmill, who are just falling dead and having heart attacks. You know, we put our body, that is also stress. You do too much with your body or you do nothing with your body. See, there is something called being equanimous in life.
Our body is the only thing which is going to stay with us right till the end. So I think this entire point of nourishing, becoming aware, it's not a luxury. And like Deepak Chopra rightly said, on the days he's busy, he makes sure he meditates twice. I think especially for women, it's the norm to be more selfless and that you need to be doing things for everyone. And we see this all the time. So they're not filling their own cup up. What is that one advice or that one practice of self-care you would say they can start doing before giving to everyone around?
See, I love this beautiful saying, or, you know, I heard this on one of the talks by Osho, where he says, you know, that the lotus blooms not for you and me, but it blooms because it is in its nature to bloom. It has to bloom. It comes into its full bloom. It blooms for the sun with the sunrise, and it wafts out its fragrance. It gives out its fragrance. And that fragrance is not that Nikita should feel happy smelling me or Padmaja should feel happy with my fragrance. Its nature is to be fragrant. Unless it concentrates of being fully itself, you know, a lotus has to be itself. A being has to be themselves. You have to become who you are meant to be and stop trying to being everything else. And see, people's pleasers, that is what most of us tend to become, because we have been raised believing that, you know, since childhood, you would have seen that the thing is, no, it's okay. It's okay for you to give. You should share. You should give. You know, these are all very good values to practice. But if you are going to raise a person, a child, saying that you're a good girl when you do this, so the child is going to believe that I want to be a good girl, I want to be a good boy. Okay, let me please everybody around me, but my, you know, what I need, whether I have it or no, is not important. That is what, you know, is the price that we pay for when we grow older. And eventually, see, these, I run a very beautiful program called the Enneagram for corporates, for them to understand themselves. It's a personality assessment program. And in that, one of the types are the helpers. And the helpers, they struggle through this throughout their lives. They're trying to please people by being there for them. They are the most empathetic people. But throughout life, when you're doing it without fulfilling your own needs, if you ask a helper type personality, what is it that you would like to order in a restaurant, they wouldn't know. They say, no, you order whatever you want. I'll eat anything. Because they don't even know what they want. And this is so, so bad. Unless you are fulfilled, how can a beggar do charity?
Fulfill your
own needs first. So my mantra for people every time in every talk, my main mantra out of my three mantras, my main mantra is become selfish. By becoming selfish, you are doing a lot of good to this world, because you fulfill your needs. And once your needs are fulfilled, then the giving that happens through you will be selfless. That is true giving. Giving is not when I'm doing this for you because I expect something in return. No, the giving should happen from a space of I have so much that I'm overflowing and I'm happy to share it with people around.
A lot of people are going to resonate with that, because I think you need to have that abundance to be able to give and actually feel it. Otherwise, even if you're giving, it's not going to be joyful. You're going to have that sense of resentment that comes up when you keep doing for everyone else. To end with, I would like to ask you a couple of rapid-fire questions. What does wellness mean to you in three words? How would you describe it?
Wellness for me means being here in the present moment. Being okay with life, all of life, being at peace with myself, basically. Being fully present, being peaceful, and wellness means being a contributor.
What is the one practice that brings you back to yourself, or the one self-care tool that's your go-to?
My go-to practice is breath work. Okay. So I am a practitioner of conscious breathing, and I've been trained under Dr. Newton and Leonard Orr. And that is a practice which I've practiced for more than a decade now. And I can never speak enough about the benefits of that practice.
So what is...
If I was to tempt people to practice it, you know, what do I tell them, you know, why you practice it? I say, do you want to have glowing skin and a young looking skin for a long period of time? Then do breath work, you know. You want to shed weight, do breath work. I entice them through these things, and then automatically they see the more important purpose or the effects of breath work, which is, I mean, everyone has to practice it to experience it, is what I say.
Yeah, I think that's a good bait, because who is not looking for better looking skin and to feel good in their own body? Do you have any resource or any introductory tool that you would recommend if people want to start with breath work?
I would suggest that they look up breath work, read about conscious breathing. Now, conscious breathing, they can look up Leonard Orr on the internet. Because breathing, this particular breathing is something that is taught to people. You have to take them through it. You have to go to a practitioner and learn it, and then you practice it on your own. I'll tell you why. Because when you start breathing, your breath is such a powerful tool and a powerful healer within you. You have access to the most powerful healer in existence. And when you start working on yourself, it sometimes gives rise to certain discomfort and pain in the body. The pain is nothing, blocked emotions that you're holding on to. Right? So having someone with you who'll take you through it, and he'll make you comfortable, and you'll get an idea of what to expect, is the way you go about it. In the meantime, to start practicing things like pranayama and the different kinds of breathing that, you know, yoga has a wealth of breathing practices. You start off with that, and then research on conscious breathing or rebirthing breath work. This is what it is known. And reach out to a practitioner and train under them for a few 4 to 5 sessions, and then you are good to go for the rest of your life. Is what I would say.
Yeah, I think that's some good homework for us. And even I'm very intrigued to see what the rebirthing breath work is. I've never practiced it. I've done more of the basic breath work, but I'm definitely going to look at this. And it's been a very powerful and inspiring conversation. So thank you so much for being here. It was really nice talking to you today.
Thank you, Nikita, and for inviting me. I had a lovely time too. It is always a joy to share. It's always a joy, because every time I talk to whoever talks to me, new insights emerge and new perspectives about my own life emerge and new memories come back and new examples emerge. And I just find it so interesting that, you know, discussion and talking about things is so important also. I'm grateful to be a channel for life to allow me to do these things. And that is all I have to say. I'm just grateful for everything that has happened. As I'm grateful for this conversation and for you coming and showing me what you do and the possibilities that can be achieved through just reaching out to larger masses. You know, keep doing the good work, and all the best to you too, Nikita.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to rate, review, and share with anyone you think might enjoy these conversations. Stay tuned for more.